Dear intercessors, the title for my message this week is Climate Hysteria, a False Religion. I will begin by reading from Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 12, where it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Reason I am quoting from Ephesians here is because I believe that this topic is dealing with one of the most powerful spiritual world rulers today. This climate hysteria is something that is neither in line with science, nor is it in line with the Bible. On June 28 this year, the newly crowned King Charles III of England, together with Mayor Sadiq Khan in London, activated what they call a climate clock, indicating that from that date, the world has 6 years and 24 days to solve the problem with global warming before it is too late. In fact, the king on his clock even indicated minutes, hours and minutes. So is this really science, or what is this? Why do they do this? Did you know that actually this is not something new? On Earth Day in 1970, it was actually proclaimed that civilization will cease on the Earth in 30 years. That would be in the year 2000. And that due to starvation, by 1980, it will be 1 to 200 million people dying from starvation every year. Well, that didn't happen either. But these false predictions, as I said, they have been coming over the years here. One of the most spectacular and false predictions came from former Vice President Al Gore. He actually received the Nobel Prize for his prognostications of doom due to global warming. He said that by 2014, the Arctic and Greenland ice sheets would completely vanish, which would cause, listen to this, sea levels to rise 20 feet. Gore has received $300 million because of his activism during the past 20 years. But none of this happened. In fact, instead, the Arctic and the Greenland covering of ice grew during the same time that Gore said that they would vanish. And here's something that is quite funny. Al Gore used some of these enormous fortunes that he received from his activism to build a major estate on the west coast of the United States, close to the sea. If he really believed in his predictions, that would put some of, at least, of that mansion underwater. But this is truly just bogus. Like I said, it's neither science nor is it in line with scripture. So I want to quote first from some scientists what they have to say about this. In 2019, in September, in fact, in 2019, more than 500 scientists and professionals in climatology and related fields signed a letter to the United Nations saying there is no climate emergency. And I quote from this letter here. "There is no statistical evidence that global warming is intensifying hurricanes, floods, droughts, and such like natural disasters, or making them more frequent. However, carbon dioxide mitigation measures are as damaging as they are costly. For instance, wind turbines kill birds and bats, and palm oil plantations destroy the biodiversity of the rainforests. So it's not even good for nature what they are doing. It has often been quoted in the media that 97% of all scientists in this field of climatology, that is, believe that man-made global warming will lead to catastrophes. And is this really accurate? I just want to quote one scientist on this, what he says. It's the Israeli astrophysics and chairman or astrophysicist and chairman of Jerusalem's Hebrew University's physics department, Dr. Nir Shaviv. This is what he says, quote, "Only people who don't understand science take the 97% statistic seriously. Survey results depend on who you ask and how the questions are worded. And in any case, science is not a democracy. Even if 100% of scientists believe something, one person could come with good evidence and still be right." Proving the opposite, in other words. And here is a more recent declaration from over 1,100 scientists and scholars who signed a document that they call World Climate Declaration. That is, I believe, in 2019. And I quote from this, they signed this document declaring that climate science is based more on personal beliefs and political agendas today than sound, rigorous science. I quote now, "The Earth climate has varied with cold and warm periods for as long as the planet has existed. And it is no surprise that we are experiencing right now a period of warming. The climate models that the United Nations, for instance, give out periodically are not remotely plausible as global policy tools. They are ignoring, for one, the benefits of carbon dioxide, which is not a pollutant. Carbon dioxide is actually essential to all life on Earth." I mean, this is amazing. I'm not a scientist, but in school, this was one of the fundamentals that you learned in biology about the photosynthesis that requires carbon dioxide in order to produce vegetation. So it is essential, like they write here, to all life on Earth. Photosynthesis is a blessing. More carbon dioxide is beneficial for nature and for greening the earth. And additional carbon dioxide in the air has promoted growth in global plant biomass. It is also good for agriculture, increasing the yield of crops worldwide. So why is something that is good for nature consider a danger to the planet? This certainly does not make sense.
Carbon dioxide is a natural gas produced by all living things.
Few things annoy me more than to hear people talking about carbon dioxide as being a pollutant. You're made of carbon dioxide. I'm made of carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide is how living things grow.
And I want to say this, that this climate alarmism or hysteria is actually not science, but a false religion. It is pure idol worship, actually. And I'm going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, from verse 13 to 20. This is a very famous passage. And I just want to read it first now, and before I quote, before I make some comments on it here. Now, when Yeshua came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Why do people say that, who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Yeshua answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Hallelujah. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Messiah. Why do I read this passage here? Well, it is because what it says here in verse 13, that this took place when Yeshua and his disciples came to the district of Caesarea Philippi. Because at that place where he asked the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confessed, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." In that place, Tetrarch Herod Philip had built a temple to Caesar, worshiping him as God, because the emperor in the Roman Empire considered himself to be a god, and it was mandatory for people to worship him as God. So the Tetrarch, in order to be in good standing with the emperor, had built a temple where worship to the Caesar would take place. But prior to that, the Greeks had built a temple to the god Pan in that very place. Who is the god Pan in Greek mythology? The god Pan is the god of nature and of shepherds or rulers. And he ruled through fear, producing fear. That's where we get the word panic from, the god Pan. So it was very fitting that the ruler of the ancient world at that time should be worshipped at a place where they also worshipped the god Pan, being the god of nature who is ruling through fear. So this is worship, idol worship, of causing the god Pan causing fear in people, so that emperors and rulers can dominate people. That is the world ruler that is coming to the forefront again in our day. And it was so fitting that Yeshua asked them the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Son of the living God, the Messiah, who has been destined by God himself to inherit the entire world and to rule the world." There was a clash of kingdoms taking place right there. And it is so fitting for these end times, because the world ruler of the end times, the Antichrist, is going to ascend to power much on the basis of this fear of nature, causing panic in people. And of course, there are so many people today who live in anguish, who live in constant fear, because globalists and authorities and media, they are constantly giving out this information that the end of the world is near, because of our the way that man is producing pollution. So this is something that is very, very real today. And the global powers, like we talked about in the previous video from last week, they are coming to power because they are producing or they are trying, should I say, to get power over the whole world through crisis, producing crises and causing fear in people so that they could come with solutions that normally people would never accept. If everything is going well as it is, nobody would accept the kind of dramatic and drastic changes that the global world leaders are now demanding from people. You should eat less meat and you must not travel and so forth. It is to cause this anxiety in people that they have to obey these dictates, this dictatorship that is coming more and more on the earth. And it's actually a very deceptive, like I said, it's a deception that is producing this fear in people. And in a moment, I'm going to begin to prove from the Bible how wrong this is, what they are doing, and how false that is. But it is actually a very, not only deceptive, but also a murderous agenda. Yeshua said in John 8:44 about the enemy, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan is the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. This is actually what is fueling this climate hysteria today in the world. I want to take an example of how deceptive this propaganda is that they are giving out right now from the globalists. Listen to this. Despite the fact that several arsonists have been arrested for starting the multitude of fires recently in Canada, that amazingly began at the same time. So they have arrested those who really produce these fires. Yet the official line is that the fires are a result of global warming. They are seeking to create panic with a false narrative. But everything is exactly opposite how it appears. The globalists, they need ecological disasters to further their cause. What is happening now is, for instance, that Bill Gates to begin to produce artificial clouds in the atmosphere in order to block the sun from shining to stop global warming. I mean, many scientists are saying this is truly playing with fire. Nobody knows what this is actually going to do. And specifically to agriculture. And it is experimenting with with nature. And here is something that climate czar of the United States, it's interesting, by the way, that many nations today, they have, since COVID began to, they have produced a new office for the climate that they call the head of that office or that department a czar, like a Caesar. It's the same word that it comes from. On May 18, 2023, that is this year, in other words, John Kerry, who is the climate czar in the United States, he stated there has to be now a very drastic reduction in U.S. farming in order to combat global warming. This sounds truly bizarre, that we have to stop producing food in order to save humanity from going under. And this is what he said when he motivated this. I quote, "A lot of people have no clue that agriculture contributes about 33%, that is one third, in other words, of all the emissions of the world. we can't. So producing food is destroying nature, according to him, or the climate. We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. So all of us understand here the depth of this mission. What mission? To abandon farming. That should be part of the solution. It's truly insane. And he says this is going to save lives of many people. But of course, in reality, if this is put into effect, this green policy, so to speak, it will lead to the deaths of millions, most likely, not only in the United States, but in other parts of the world. Because it is like the scientist said in the declaration that I quoted from recently, carbon dioxide mitigation measures are as damaging, they are just as damaging as they are costly. I want to...
In the last 15 years, the planet has not got less green, it's got more green. And not only a little bit more green, stunningly more green. 15% in 15 years. And that's an area bigger than the continental United States. There are more trees in the Northern Hemisphere than there were 100 years ago. Carbon dioxide output has increased. The planet has got, not only has the planet got greener, it's got greener in the driest areas. And one of the consequences of that increased greening is that our agriculture production has become not less efficient, but much more efficient.
I want to quote or read here from the book of Revelation, chapter 11, and I'm going to read verse 15 to 18. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud cries in heaven saying, I mean, this is the future we are looking forward to. This is such good news, what I'm reading here now. When the seventh trumpet is sounded, that's the final trumpet, that's heralding the coming of Messiah. The kingdom of the world, or this world, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged. In other words, the uproar against God is described here. But your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great. And here comes now what I'm getting to. And for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Because this is actually what they're doing with these so-called green policies. They're causing destruction. Bill Gates, John Kerry, and these globalists. They are causing destruction on the earth on purpose in order to produce those crises that can give them the control over the masses. So let's now begin to look at how this climate hysteria is not in line with the Bible. It is totally opposed to the scriptures. I'm going to begin by reading Hebrews chapter 1 and the first three verses of that chapter. Long ago, this is so wonderful to read the scriptures to expose these agenda for being from the enemy. It's all a lie. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom, that is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, who, it says here, whom he appointed the heir of all things. Hallelujah. Through whom he also created the world. Verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. Now it comes here. Listen to this. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is the one, he said to his disciples before he left, who has been given all power in heaven and on earth. And he is the one who upholds the entire universe by the word of his power. I'm reminded of the ancient spiritual. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole wild world in his hands. That is a song that should produce peace and expose all anxiety for the world going under because of carbon dioxide or global warming or anything of that kind. The one who is in charge and upholds this entire universe is the one who has also given his life to save mankind from their sins. He is now seated at the right hand of Almighty God, the creator of the universe, and he is upholding the entire universe with the word of his power. He is the one we should fear. He is the one we need to worship, because he is in control of this earth. So, hallelujah. I'm also reminded of what God promised after the flood. It says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, this is what God has promised. While the earth remains, or we can also translate that, as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This is the promise from the creator of the world, the creator of the universe. He is the only one who is in charge of that. He is the only one who can guarantee that the seasons, that the harvests and seed times and so forth will exist as long as the earth exists. Now, it is true that according to scientists, this ecological system is very, very delicate. So that if the earth axle would differ just a hair one way or the other, all of civilization would cease to exist. So if you don't believe in God, it's very easy to scare people that, I mean, we have to do anything to make sure that this balance is not being destroyed one way or another, because then all of civilization will die. But there is one who is seated on high, who is enthroned and is in charge of the future of the world. But the sad thing is that this climate agenda producing fear and anxiety is now invading also the church. And I'm going to come back to that in a little moment. But before then, I want to read also some other passages here. The Apostle Paul said in his speech on the in Athens at the Areopagus, I quote Acts 17, verse 28, "In him we live and move and have our being." Let's read from the book of Job some amazing verses here. I'm going to read verse 12 to 15 in chapter 34 of the book of Job. "Of a truth, God will not do wickedly, thank God, and the Almighty will not pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth, or who laid on him the whole world? Nobody. He's the one who has the responsibility for the whole world by his own choice. He started all of creation, and he holds it also in his hands. And then it says in the next verse, verse 14 here, if he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit, or withdraw his spirit from the earth and his breath, verse 15, all flesh would perish together and man would return to dust. In other words, we are dependent on God for our lives. That it is in him that we live and move and have our being. If he should withdraw his breath, his spirit from the earth, we would all cease to exist, because he upholds everything by the power of his word. Hallelujah. We should not be alarmed by this climate clock now from King Charles of England, who's trying to put this dooms clock over all of humanity if we do not follow their dictates and begin to lower all the emissions of carbon dioxide and so forth, which is actually an agenda of disaster, not of help. And if enough said about all of this. But I want to give you a parallel now from what happened to my country, Sweden, over the past, close to 150 years. How Sweden could be transformed from one of the most godly Christian nations on the planet to become the most secular and individualistic in the entire world. How could that happen? Well, it was because of the socialists. When they came to power, how they began to break this influence of Christianity over the nation. The Social Democratic Party was founded in the most holy hour on the entire year for the church. That is on Friday morning, Good Friday, in 1889, or possibly a few years earlier. That is when their party was established in defiance of the church, declaring with this, when they chose at that time, it was the entire nation was assembled in the church of those who, except of course if you were atheistic and did not believe in God. And that's the very hour that they decided to found that party and declare war against the cross, against the crown, and against capitalism. So the cross was first, symbolizing the church. But how could they strip the state Lutheran church of its power over the nation? And one thing that was learned from a recent research made by someone who made his doctorate on this, he researched how Sweden could become this secular country, the most secular country in the world, after being such a Christian nation. And it was because many of the free denominations in Sweden, in several occasions, lined up with the socialists against the state Lutheran Church, because the state Lutheran Church had persecuted the independent free churches. And so they wanted to get rid of the state Lutheran Church influence as well. So they joined naively with the socialists in breaking the Lutheran Church influence in Sweden, not realizing what agenda they lined up with, an anti-Christian agenda to break the power of Christianity over our nation. And in the same way, the church is acting today. And let me back up and say this. The reason that they did that, beyond that the revival denominations, if you want, beyond the fact that they did not like the tyranny, if you want to call it that way, from the state Lutheran Church that they had been persecuted by, They did not like that. But beyond that, they motivated it many times theologically by saying, we should care for the poor. And the socialist agenda is to help those who are the poorest in society. So we have common ground together. Well, that is very a false thinking, because at the bottom of the socialist agenda is an agenda of uproar against God. It's an anti-Christ philosophy rebelling at the gospel and at God. So you should not line up with such forces, because in the end you will also lose your influence. And that is exactly what has happened in Sweden. But now many churches are repeating the same mistake. They say, well, we should take care of nature. We should not pollute God's creation. So they begin to join hands with this climate hysteria, this climate agenda from the globalists. Many of the churches in Sweden and in the Nordic countries and elsewhere in the world, they are supporting the UN's Agenda 2030, which is based on an anti-Christian agenda to take control over the world and do away with God. It's building a Tower of Babel in the end times in uproar against God. So we must not be naive in thinking we can line up with such forces, even if we should have theoretically some common ground of caring for nature, because actually this climate agenda is not caring for nature. Just one example with these wind turbines, for instance. It is destroying nature, killing birds. It is destroying the ecosystem. So it is a very deceptive, actually murderous agenda from hell. It is a false a false religion that is not based on facts. It's not based on science. It is only to promote control from global powers over the planet. Of course, there is something that the Bible explains clearly that is a danger also for the climate, and that is the sin of mankind. And I want to read some passages about that, beginning in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5. And we are going to read verses 24 and 25, the book of Jeremiah, where it says, I'm going to start in verse 23. But this people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. They have turned aside and gone away. That's what humanity is doing now, turning their back on God. They do not say in their hearts, let us fear the Lord our God, who gives the rain in its season, the autumn rain and the spring rain, and keeps for us the weeks appointed for the harvest. Your iniquities have turned these away, and your sins have kept good from you. In other words, it's the sin that is making nature even revolting against mankind's behavior, so that the climate is changing. The weeks of harvest are being destroyed, and there is going to be drought and so forth because of the sins of mankind. And in Hosea chapter 4, it is expressed even more clearly. I'm going to read the first three verses of Hosea chapter 4. It says, hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel, for the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or steadfast love and no knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, lying, murder, stealing, and committing adultery. They break all bonds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Listen to this. Therefore the land mourns, and all who dwell in it languish, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heavens, and even the fish of the sea are taken away. Why? Because of sin. And ultimately, this sin is, of course, going to cause the end of the world. As it says in Isaiah chapter 24, However, it is not because of man's pollution. It's not because we eat too much meat and grow farms and have agriculture. It is such a lie. But here in Isaiah chapter 24, I'm going to read verse 4 to 6 and then also verse 20. The earth mourns and withers. The world languishes and withers. The highest people of the earth languish. The earth lies defiled under its inhabitants, for they have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, rebelling against the Ten Commandments. That's what the globalists are purposefully doing in order to get power. They have transgressed the laws, violated the statutes, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and its inhabitants suffer for their guilt. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are scourged, and few men are left. And then finally, at the end of the chapter in verse 20, it says, the earth staggers like a drunken man. It sways like a hut. Its transgression lies heavy upon it, and it falls and will not rise again. The world is coming to an end in this dispensation because of man's sin. So what is the only solution? Well, we are waiting for the Messiah to come and take over. We are looking forward to a new earth, or as it should be translated from the Greek, a renewed earth. It's not a different planet, and I'm going to show you that in a moment. It's a renewed earth and a renewed heaven. It is going to be transformed and born again, it says in Matthew 19:28. That's how it can be translated there. The English translation says that the renewal of all things. Let's read about this in Romans chapter 8. We have a good message. It's doom because of man's sins, but there is a hope. There is salvation. And that is what the church must preach in this hour, not the globalist fake climate agenda to save the planet. It will not help, because it is the sin of the sins of mankind that is going to cause the system to break down eventually. Romans chapter 8, I should say, from verse 18 and on. Paul writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present age, is not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Isaiah says that the glory of the God of the Lord is going to cover the entire earth as the waters covers the sea. Hallelujah. It is coming. A beautiful, new, renewed earth where righteousness will dwell. Let's read on in the text here, verse 19. For the creation waits in eager longing for its destruction. No, for its rebirth through, it says here, for the revealing of the sons of God. I'm coming back to that in a moment. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. And that was because of the fall of mankind, that all of creation came under a curse of futility. In hope, it says, however, here, that the creation itself will be set free, hallelujah, from its bondage to corruption, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And that's what is going to come upon the world in the end times more and more. These birth pains preceding the rebirth of the entire world into the glory of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And then it says in verse 23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's the down payment to the entire inheritance. The first fruits of the Spirit. We also groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. When is that going to take place? When we eat less meat? When we stop driving cars? No, friend. It is going to happen at the appearing of the Son of Man in glory and power from heaven to take over this world. When he appears, we shall be changed to be like him. He is going to transform our lowly bodies to become like his glorious body. That is the transformation into becoming like sons of God. In other words, becoming incorruptible, that we are waiting for. And that's the moment that all of creation is, as one translation says, standing on tiptoe, waiting for. And that's the hope that we must preach in this hour in order to rescue humanity from destruction, from going under and getting lost forever. There is a hope in the gospel. The only salvation from the world for the world is being born again, becoming having our sins forgiven because of the blood of Yeshua as the Lamb of God who died for the sins of the world. That is the hope that we must proclaim in this hour as never before, and not become entangled into a false agenda of climate hysteria. So that's the reason that I want to give this message, so that we can pray for the release of the gospel of the kingdom of God as never before in this hour, in this late hour. And when that the gospel of the kingdom has been proclaimed in all the earth, in every nation, then the end will come. And he who is seated on high at the right hand of God, until that moment, it will uphold all of creation through the power of his word. We need not fear. The most important thing is that we obey the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that the fullness of the Gentiles will come so that also then all of Israel can be saved. We must take a responsibility in this hour. We must give ourselves to prayer as never before to give birth to this end-time revival that will gather in the harvest for the kingdom that is coming. And that's why we are at the planet at this time. We are not citizens of this world. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are citizens of a kingdom that is coming. Hallelujah. So let's not be fooled. Let us be wise. Let us discern what is taking place right now. And do not fall for the lies of the enemy, from the spirit of the Antichrist that is out to steal and kill and destroy and to through lies and deception. So let us pray as never before for this end time revival. That's why we have this prayer movement. Thank you for being part of it. If we are obedient now, sowing with tears, we shall one day also reap with joy. We shall have our reward at the coming of the Son of Man from heaven. Thank you for listening. Please read the prayer points that we have in the description below. And give thumbs up if you want this to spread faster on the internet and spread it to your friends. The hour is late. We must do everything we can as long as it is still day. Let me also repeat how grateful we are for those of you who support this ministry financially. You can see that in the description below, how you can become part of this ministry to work for the end time harvest. God bless you.